Welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Hey, good morning, everybody, and welcome to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. This is Wednesday, October the 2nd, says my sheet of paper here in front of me. And we are delighted to have you with us here on American Family Radio. Ed Vitagliano, co-hosting with me today. Good morning, Ed.
Good morning, Tim. I would just like to ask Brent Creeley, since it is October 2nd.
Our producer.
How many shopping days until Christmas? Because we're starting to get to that time of the year.
Yes, we are.
We count things down. Brent, what's the answer?
83 days.
83 days. That's actually a lot less than I was thinking.
But 83 days, 13 hours, 53 minutes, and 53.
Better get busy, folks. 51. Better get busy. I'm just warning you.
And for a lot of men, that would be 82 days. Yeah, that would be right. Christmas
Eve.
That's
right.
Christmas Eve is the big day for a lot of men across the good old U.S. of A. and Canada, where they celebrate Christmas as well. Good morning, Fred Jackson.
Yes, good to be here. And God created gift cards
for a reason.
That is an excellent point. I was thinking of you, sweetie.
Nothing says time spent shopping like a gift card to Cracker Barrel, does it? Although I appreciate those more than anything.
Listen, my wife would be just as happy with a gift card as. In fact, I don't think she really seriously trusts my gift choosing ability.
I know we joke about it, but in reality, just stop and think about it. If you buy clothes for someone, invariably doesn't fit.
Right.
I don't like the color. All right. So here's, a $50 gift card. You go buy what you like.
You go buy what you want.
What you want. That's right. Because, you know, you're going to buy something for your wife. I've never bought clothes for my wife, by the way. But inevitably, you're going to get, you think I'm this big?
Right. What made you think that? I got to take this back now. Look at this. You think this fits me? What gave you that idea? I just say, I know we all can compliment our wives here.
Yes.
Allison, she's, when it comes to that kind of stuff, she's a saint. I don't ever have to think about what to buy people for Christmas because she has it all done by like October. And
see, this is the month for her.
Yeah, I mean, she'll have it knocked out pretty quick. So I remember when we were, just to show you, the old saying, what they say, opposites attract?
Yes. I know Allison. This is telling me a lot about you.
That's not always true, and it's not always true of everything. But I remember in college, she was a get it done right off the bat. So her professor gave her a term paper to be done. in 3 months, she had it done in the first 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you were a typical guy.
I was the night before on my typewriter, bang, 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 trying to.
I had many of those kind of nights.
Many of those. I think I still got to be on that thing. I think I stayed up. I pulled an all-nighter, as they say. Yeah. All right, Ed, how can folks join us on, as you say, that their internet?
Yes, well, you can just simply go to Facebook or YouTube and type in Today's Issues, and you will be able to watch us online on either of those platforms. And I know that on Facebook there is a group of regulars that interact. I think they go out for coffee or something. I mean, they're always talking personal stuff.
We love those folks. Great fans.
And then they also
show.
Make comments that Brent keeps up with the comments. I'll glance at them periodically, right. And we like that interaction. So Facebook or YouTube, search for Today's Issues.
By the way, did you see where Facebook and Elizabeth Warren, some consider the leader now on the Democrat side, that's a progressive versus progressive right there. Uh-huh. They call themselves progressives. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
They're at each other here.
Yeah, well, Elizabeth Warren is saying we need to break up these big companies.
Mm-hmm.
And Zuckerberg is saying, that's not what America's about.
That's right. I'll go to the mat on this one. Yeah. That'd be interesting here. Who would Zucker support, Trump or Warren? in a president.
Maybe the guy whose politics you don't like, or the woman who threatens the existence of your company.
Well, that'd be an interesting
story. You know what? They go with the money.
See, the Silicon Valley vote is on that one there, because she wants to break up all the big. And I'm not so sure I'm not with her on that. I'll have to do more study on that. But
our views, we want to make this clear. Our views are not vote Republican all the time, don't vote Democrat. Our views are we want conservative principles upheld.
Right.
And we want, you know, godly principles upheld. And I'm kind of with you. I'm not liking this globalist one world government kind of we're spying on you. These big social media companies to run our lives.
Well, and whittle down to about three or four people who are running everything.
Right. You know. Right. That's something that I would take a strong look at, even if it's Elizabeth Warren who's champion.
She may have different reasons, anyway, you know. And I'm typically for government staying out of business because,
right.
but you do get a monopoly type situation. You do have antitrust laws to consider. And wasn't this the reason they busted up AT&T back in the 80s?
Was it AT&T at Bell? The time? It was Bell, Ma Bell. But it was, I think it was still
it was
AT&T.
It was a monopoly.
It was a monopoly. You couldn't use the phone except through Ma Bell.
Do you think that the difference in opinion between Zuckerberg and Elizabeth Warren has anything to do with this headline from the Washington Times?
This happened today or last night?
Last night. Yesterday, Facebook restores professor's page detailing Elizabeth Warren's Cherokee claims. Do you think it's connected?
That's probably a personal intervention by one Mark Zuckerberg.
Yes.
How you like them apples?
Now give just a little bit of a little bit of background there, that this is a professor who...
Her Cherokee background?
And some of her other misstatements, I think, right?
Yes. A professor, I assume, that who doesn't like her all that much.
Right.
And they took down his Facebook page, which detailed over the years her claims, including that helped her get into Harvard.
Right.
That she's part Native Indian.
Yes. And the reason given for taking down the Facebook page was that it looked like an impersonation of Elizabeth Warren, when it clearly said has no connection with Senator Elizabeth Warren. So they restored it, but... To your, both of your
After
points.
6 years, right, or something like that. They brought it back from the dead.
Just happened to happen yesterday.
Just happened to happen.
It's coincidence. Yeah. Right.
Zuckerberg.
Very interesting.
Zuckerberg versus Pocahontas right there.
Huh? Oh, you know, that's... that's what. Does President Trump have a name for Mark Zuckerberg yet?
I don't... yet. I don't think so. Nope. But, that's what President Trump... comically refers to her as because of her claim of
being Native American, having percentage.
That's something. The reason that's an issue is some would say, who cares? Because all of us have all different kind of blood in us from somewhere way back, right? Yeah. We can claim, and maybe she does have some Cherokee heritage. However, she used that on a entrance form. To get into Harvard.
Yes.
Now she claims it didn't help her that her other qualifications. But the accusation is,
why'd you put it down?
Right.
Well, and it's another. It's also, I don't know how old she was when she did that, but that's kind of like, come on, man. You know, don't put you're a white lady. Okay.
Well, she claimed grandmother had told her.
Yeah.
That the family had. And I think she has gotten the DNA report back.
Right.
And there's some sliver of a fraction.
One-tenth of 1%.
Which is probably true of most of the people on the Eastern Seaboard.
Yeah, she threw her grandmother under the bus.
Yes.
That's what she did. Yeah. It's grandma's fault.
Threw grandma?
Yeah. It's grandma's fault.
She could rest her soul.
Before she could get socialized medicine? Oh, man. I think I'm 0.5 sub-Saharan descent. So my brother sent me that.
I've never had it done because I don't want to know. I don't want to know what's... I'm half Italian, half Greek.
That's all you need to know?
That's all I need to know. I don't want to know I'm part Yugoslavian and part Russian. I may be part Russian because I always liked that song we played on the Russia Files. Remember? So who knows?
Yeah. All right. So on a breaking news note, Fred,
Bernie Sanders had to cancel all activities today. He's undergoing. Now, one headline said heart procedure. Another headline says heart surgery. I think there's a little bit different. When you hear surgery, that's mighty, mighty, mighty serious.
Now, yeah, he had two stents put in.
Yes.
To address a blockage in an artery.
This you know he's 78?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think he's done now. I don't see him.
Do you think having a daytime surgery these days when they put stents in?
Yeah, no, I don't think it's debilitating, and could prevent him from being president. I think it's the optics of it. Oh. Everyone starts going, well, gee, is the guy going to die? Is he going to die in office? It's a couple of stents, a blockage. He's 78.
Well, when you have Elizabeth Warren there, too, who basically has his same mantle, right?
Yes.
I mean, his same pedigree. She's a rock star on the progressive side.
Right.
So I think she'll take it. I don't know if he'll bow out or not, but I don't know what else he has to live for.
I doubt he'll bow out, but yeah. I think his share of the vote, in polling is going to shrink.
Well, and that's been the trend. Elizabeth Warren has moved into second place behind Joe Biden in the vast majority of the polls.
Yes.
I got to ask you guys, is 78 the new 65? I mean, he's 78 years old. Isn't Biden 76?
Yeah. I think he turned 77 in
November. Of them, they say, would turn 80 in their first term of office if they became president.
And President Trump is what, 72?
72, I think.
He's a youngster.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I tell you what, it depends, in my personal opinion, I'm not a doctor, I think it depends on the lifestyle you've led up to that point. Bernie Sanders has been making speeches and traveling around for 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
He probably is very energetic, but your body begins to degrade at some point, and you have to have, these kinds of procedures. I'm not saying he couldn't do it. I'm just saying the perception is people will go, well, he's pretty old. He's had heart surgery. What's going to happen to him next year?
Yeah. He might want to endorse Warren, right?
Yeah.
And then start going to the Waffle House for coffee in the morning.
And start talking to
the old guys down there, right? Huh? All right. So anyway, Bernie Sanders is having heart surgery. It sounds pretty routine to me. Two stents, for a blocked artery.
Yeah.
Who doesn't know somebody that's had that done to them?
Right.
Even people in their 50s sometimes have that happen.
So he's canceling events for the foreseeable future, but they're saying he's going to be resting up over the next few days. I don't know how long, a couple of weeks, he may be back out with a lesser schedule, but we'll see how the polling treats him and how he responds if his support begins to erode.
He might want to consider President Trump's Big Mac diet. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
As an alternative to whatever he's doing now.
Although I will say, in all the stress the president's been under,
he
looks like he's putting on some weight.
President Trump?
President Trump. Mm-hmm. And so
you're not supposed to talk about a president's weight, Ed.
Oh.
You know that?
Only if it's a woman, I thought.
I'm
concerned health-wise for the president.
For the president, well, yeah. Well, we were talking this morning. For President Trump, this is taking the politics of the discussion out of it. I said to you, Ed, maybe you heard me, Fred, there is only so much that one person can take before they reach their breaking point.
Right.
And that's true of everybody. Huh?
Yep.
I guess. But most, and President Trump has taken a lot. Now, he signed up for it in the sense that he wanted to run for president. But the relentless attacks on him personally and on his family and on his administration, it just been, as I say, and then now to have to deal with moles, what I would call them, or Spies. Not knowing who you can trust. You've got the deep state after you, and then you have to hire attorney after attorney after attorney. I don't know how much of that's covered by the executive budget versus how much President Trump has to pay out on his own. So I'm just saying that does concern me as far as somebody of his age and then having to deal with this mentally day after day after day.
And it's important how you respond
yes.
to those kinds of attacks. And he mm-hmm. takes these kinds of things very personally.
Yeah, he's the word volatile comes to mind when I think of his reactions to events and to criticisms. You're right. I mean, that's his nature.
Right.
I don't know, lawyers, when you get involved in things like this, oftentimes your lawyer's advice is to don't say very much.
Yeah.
Fred's laughing over here. You're going to tell Donald Trump don't say very much. He's going to say very much. I guess what would make me a little nervous, I got to be honest with you, if I'm an aide of his or work in the White House, and I know we've all seen the Twitter, but he's got that phone, and I don't know who filters or at all he checked with to say, do you think I should send? Do you think I should send this out? You don't think he says that to anybody?
No, I don't think he says that to anybody. Okay. He trusts his instincts as a businessman and now as a president. Mm-hmm. In his mind, he's thinking, I've gotten here because of my instincts.
Yeah.
I'm trusting my instincts.
And his Twitter account, the reason it's good for him is he can go straight to people.
Right.
Without his message being filtered. Back in the old days, everything was filtered unless you went live from the Oval Office almost. You know what I'm saying? With a speech to the nation, everything was filtered through the liberal media. So he even though he is still attacked day after day by the liberal news media, and not all the news media is liberal, but we know who I'm talking about. Most all of them are,
right.
And they're against him. He still can bypass that to some extent with his Twitter account. But, it can also do harm to you if you're not, measured in this kind of situation or you're not disciplined.
Especially in a legal sense. That's what we were talking about also.
Yes.
Where they're jumping on every word you say,
mm-hmm.
and they are going to bring it up in the impeachment inquiry. You've got to be disciplined so you don't give them ammunition, even if it's just an offhanded comment. They're going to say, you said
right, I know.
Now we want to subpoena somebody over those comments.
I think the latest report was that the Democrats have subpoenaed 47% of the country, I think, are under a subpoena from the Democrats.
Yeah.
I
think that's they're not going to leave many people out, that's for sure.
Yeah. In fact, I'm supposed to go next week for a behind-closed-doors hearing.
Oh, okay. So
with the Democrats.
Subpoenaed.
On what I know about the Ukrainian situation. All right, Fred, what do you got?
Well, as we speak, House Speaker Nancy Pelosi and Congressman Adam Schiff are holding a news conference in Washington, D.C., apparently announcing that they're accelerating the impeachment inquiry. Now, I don't know how much faster they could go. Subpoenaing everybody, they're critical. They're critical now of the Secretary of State, Mike Pompeo,
mm-hmm. right.
who has, and I'm putting admitted in quotations here, to being in the room when Trump had his telephone call with the Ukrainian leader. As if that is not proper, that the Secretary of State would be in the room when you're calling the head of another government. The Secretary of State should be in the room because what he does.
Yeah, but I think the reason they want to subpoena him is they want to find out what the aftermath was. And did you, Secretary of State Mike Pompeo, mm-hmm. try to squelch the illegal things that went on in that phone call?
That's a Democrat.
I think that's where they're going with a lot of these inquiries. People being in the room and such. What did the president do afterwards? Did you warn him that what he did was illegal? That's their take is that it was impeachable and unconstitutional.
And they're subpoenaing people who work with the Secretary of State in his office.
And their cousins.
And their cousins. They want them all in there. Yeah. And if anybody tries to defend them, anybody in the Trump administration tries to defend themselves, then there is the accusation you're obstructing justice.
Right.
So now if you try to defend yourself, you're obstructing justice.
Yes.
So that's where we are.
That's what we used to say growing up. Flip a coin, heads I win, tails you lose.
Yes, that's what it is. Well, we ought to be very thankful today because the former Attorney General under Barack Obama, he has reappeared on the scene, and he's joining in the chorus against the Trump administration, in particular telling our Attorney General, Mr. Barr, that he needs to be more neutral in
this. You're talking about Eric Holder?
Eric Holder is saying that Attorney General Barr ought not to be, in Eric Holder's words, looking like the personal attorney to the president, that Mr. Barr should be neutral in all of this.
LOL.
Yes.
All right.
Why do we LOL, Fred?
Well, I'm going to play you a clip of Eric Holder speaking with Fox News yesterday. And then we're going to take your little trip down memory lane. Let's do cut number three, Brent.
Is paying a price for it, both in terms of questioning whether or not he is acting as the president's lawyer as opposed to the attorney general. And then it has a negative impact, I think, on the Justice Department, ordering an investigation of our intelligence and law enforcement agencies when there was already an investigation underway by the Inspector General. So I think that's a kind of a threshold matter. And then to see how the president is now involved in trying to help the Attorney General in that effort gives me pause. You have to not only be substantively neutral, you have to appear to be neutral when you are the Attorney General of the United States. And I fear that he has crossed a political line.
Well, Eric Holder was very different when he was the Attorney General of the United States and how he felt about his relationship with then-President Barack Obama. Cut number two.
Enjoying what I'm doing. There's still work to be done. I'm still a president's wingman, so I'm there with my boy.
I'm still the president's wingman.
This is the man criticizing William Barr for being the president's, quote, personal attorney.
Yeah.
And while attorney general, he's calling Obama his boy.
Yeah, his wingman.
His wingman.
And he just got in this first clip you played. He said you not only have to be substantively neutral, the appearance of neutrality is important.
Yes,
well, what he just got done saying certainly didn't. This is, I can't tell you how frustrating this is over and over and over again. Hearing Democrats say one thing when it's under the Obama administration and then something else. Because Trump is president, you know, we harped on it for a long time. Maybe our listeners are tired of it, but all these clips of Chuck Schumer and Nancy Pelosi all under the Obama administration talking about illegal immigration and it's bad for the country and we have to secure the border, all those kinds of things, they're on the record saying it. But then when Trump comes into the White House, and they get away with this. Nobody, very few people will call the Democrats on their clear double standard.
Well, double standard is right. And there's a really good story in PJ Media today. What about Eric Holder when he was attorney general and the case of the new Black Panther voter intimidation? Remember that? Black
Panther
showing
Philadelphia.
Up with billy clubs?
Yeah,
threatening voters.
And Attorney General Holder said, well, really, I don't think it was that intimidating.
Yeah.
To protect Democrats. He wasn't protecting anybody in the country.
Right.
Upholding the law. He was protecting Democrats and their supporters.
He was also the one that sent 40 or 50.
It's 40.
40 FBI agents to Little Ferguson, Missouri to try to get this police officer. Remember that?
Yeah.
After the Michael Brown death?
Mm-hmm.
All right. We shall return momentarily with more of today's issues on the American Family Radio Network. Stay with us. Abe Hamilton on the way.
Next time on Today's Issues, our guest will be Jan Markell of Understanding the Times Radio.
It says in 2 Chronicles 12 that the sons of Issachar were men who understood the times. This ministry wishes to see every follower, at least of Olive Tree, to better understand the times.
We'll also have news headlines and analysis from American Family News. Don't miss the next Today's Issues, weekday mornings at 11 Eastern, 10 Central on American Family Radio.
Hello, everyone. I'm Tim Wildman, president of American Family Association and American Family Radio. You know, on our tour of the Holy Land in March, one of the places we'll stop is called the House of Caiaphas. This is the place where Jesus experienced the mock trial in front of the Sanhedrin that you read about in the Bible before he was taken to Pilate. He was actually held there in that house. We go there. We visit there. We see where that was. And then right beside the house are steps that date back to the time of Christ. They're stone steps that date back to the time of Christ. Those were the very steps that Jesus walked from the Garden of Gethsemane as he was brought to this mock trial at the House of Caiaphas. That's just one of the places we'll visit in March on our Holy Land tour. For all the information on this March 12th through the 20th trip, go to twholyland.com. That's twholyland.com.
Fox News Commentary with Todd Starnes.
Hello, Americans. When the classroom becomes a diversity war zone. That story next. Todd Starnes here, and America is facing a great danger as socialism and secularism continue to grip our nation. The left is not holding back in this culture war, and neither can we. That's why Liberty University's mission of training the next generation of faith-based conservative leaders is so vital. Their students know the value of free enterprise and individual freedom, and they will fight for it. So join me in supporting the next generation of conservative leaders. Visit liberty.edu/Starnes today. The other day, I received a message from Dina Bartis of Wake Forest, North Carolina. On the second day of class, her son's 10th grade English teacher at Heritage High School handed out a diversity inventory worksheet. She instructed students to reveal their religion, economic status, and sexual preference. She also called out white students and had them talk about their privilege. Mrs. Bartis was rightfully upset. She said the questions were uncomfortable, inappropriate, and most importantly, none of her business. The Wake County Public School system said they have instructed the teachers to discontinue the diversity lesson. God bless Mrs. Bartis for having the courage to stand up and speak out. She's faced all sorts of threats and backlash, but she did the right thing, and she exposed a very clear and present danger in our nation's public school system. I'm Todd Starnes.
That's your Fox News commentary.
This is Today's Issues. Email your comments to comments@afr.net. Past broadcasts of Today's Issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at afr.net. Now, back to more of Today's Issues.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to the radio program Today's Issues on American Family Radio. I'm Tim Wildman with Ed Battagliano and Fred Jackson. Breaking news is that presidential candidate Bernie Sanders, the senator from Vermont, is having heart surgery to put stents in for blocked arteries. So that's breaking news across the U.S. of A. Bernie Sanders, considered number three, I guess, behind Biden and Elizabeth Warren for the Democrat nomination. All right, Abraham Hamilton III joins us, as he does most Wednesdays, usually to give us some legal analysis. How you doing, Abe?
Doing well. Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning. Abe is host of the Hamilton Corner each afternoon here on American Family Radio from 5:05 to 6 o'clock Central Time. And Abe also serves as public policy analyst and is a constitutional attorney. All right, what did you want to mention?
Well, I want to mention we did talk about the president in the last first segment, and we're talking about the strain, obviously, of everything's going on. I neglected to mention that we have a new action alert out. If you go to afa.net, you will see at the very top a place to click through for our action alert. We are asking the nation to pray for our country and our government and the president. This is kind of in response to Reverend Franklin Graham, who recently said this: our nation seems to be unraveling in hatred. There are forces out to destroy our country and the freedoms we all love. I hope everyone reading this will stop and take a minute to pray for this country, for our leaders, and especially for our president. And we agree with that sentiment from Franklin Graham. And so we are asking our people, our folks, our supporters, and anyone who'd like to, even if you've never signed up for an action alert, just sign up and commit to pray for our country and for our leaders, and especially for our president. It's clear that we are in a period of really intense spiritual warfare.
Yes.
And that this is a war over the subject of God.
Yes.
At its very core, that's what this whole cultural divide is about. And our nation could go in either direction, to a more secular, atheistic view of life and socialism, or back to the founding principles of our country, which relied upon God, and for most of the country, on Jesus Christ. So we're asking people to commit to pray. Go to afa.net, and you will see the up at the top, the banner, to click through to commit to that.
afa.net?
afa.net.
Okay, a couple things we wanted to talk to Abe about. First of all, Fred.
Yeah, first I want to, we just mentioned that Nancy Pelosi, House Speaker Nancy Pelosi, and head of the House Judiciary Committee, Adam Schiff, are holding a news conference as we're sitting here right now, saying they're accelerating the impeachment process against the president. Now, we're going to play you a clip of what Adam Schiff just told reporters there. He has issued a warning to the Secretary of State, Mike Pompeo, that Mike Pompeo better start to cooperate with Adam Schiff and the Democrats in the House Judiciary Committee about giving up his Secretary of State people to testify and obey subpoenas. So I want to play you a little bit of this and get your reaction.
We are deeply concerned about Secretary Pompeo's effort now to potentially interfere with witnesses whose testimony is needed before our committee, many of whom are mentioned in the whistleblower complaint. And we want to make it abundantly clear that any effort by the Secretary, by the President, or anyone else to interfere with the Congress's ability to call before it relevant witnesses will be considered as evidence of obstruction of the lawful functions of Congress.
All right, so that's Adam Schiff. We were talking, Abe, a few moments ago that it seems under Adam Schiff's definition that any kind of objection to what he wants is being referred to as obstruction of justice. So he seems to be saying, the Trump administration, you just have to give in to everything that we want. Otherwise, we're going to accuse you of obstruction of justice. Is that how obstruction of justice is being defined?
Well, that's not how obstruction of justice is defined legally.
Yeah.
That is how Adam Schiff, who I will not call Pencil Neck. No, you didn't hear me call him Adam Pencil Neck Schiff. I will not call him Pencil Neck Schiff. That is how.
Let me just say, I completely disagree with these personal insults of Adam Schiff.
Oh, yeah.
I will not stand for it any longer. Go ahead. Continue on.
That is how he wants to construe this. But it's sad. And I think a lot of the American people are really exhausted because if you think about it, this is really just the continuation mm-hmm. of the same resistance mm-hmm. effort mm-hmm. that existed since day one of President Trump's electoral victory. I mean, before he was inaugurated, the resistance was already underway. And so I think a lot of the American people are really tuning out to the details of all of this. And it's kind of like, man, put up or shut up. If you have something, show it, do it. And if you don't, stop yapping about it. Because it's amazing to me that you've had six different House congressional committees that have been doing nothing but investigating President Trump for the express purposes of finding impeachable offenses. That's what they've been doing. That's all they've been doing. And so now you've launched a formal impeachment inquiry. Well, what have these six committees been doing all this time? And so if you have allegations that you believe form the basis for articulation of high crimes and misdemeanors, put it on paper. Let's do it. Let's stop talking about it. Let's
right.
do it. But they're not doing that because I think they're having a difficult time pinning down specific factual assertions that form the basis of what they hope to be an impeachment
but that's,
process.
That seems to be, now I may be stating something quite obvious to everyone, but it seems to me that they don't have a crime and then they are looking for the connecting dots to get all the who, what, when, where, how, and why about it. It looks like...
This sounds like Mueller 2.0.
Yeah, it looks like they are trying to find something, so that's why they're subpoenaing everybody and saying, listen, we want to talk to you because we don't have any actual crime, but now we're going to fish for something.
That's right. And this is the same Adam Schiff who said, I have evidence. I have evidence that Trump colluded with the Russians. That's what he said.
Right, right. And he never did provide it.
Never provided it.
Because there was none.
Exactly.
You know, okay, so Nancy Pelosi, Speaker of the House.
And him having nothing, I'll just add this. Yeah. That's part of the reason why he created his parody of the Ukrainian call.
Yes.
Yeah. If he, there's no need to make anything up if what the president did was what Schiff was saying. And then when confronted on it, he said, well, it's a parody.
Well, explain for some of our listeners what you mean by the parody. What actually happened?
So immediately following Nancy Pelosi's announcement of the impeachment inquiry, Adam Schiff, who is the chairman of the House Intelligence Committee, the Permanent Select Committee on Intelligence, began the hearing, and he was reading from a document that purported to be President Trump's phone call to the Ukrainian president. However, what Adam Schiff read was factually inaccurate. It was factually and demonstrably inaccurate. And so this is what the media ran with. Initial sound bites were made from this. News reports were made from this. And then when there was one Republican on the committee who said, Chairman Schiff, what you just read is not a part of the transcript for President Trump's phone call. Mm. And Adam Schiff said in response, well, this was meant to be a parody. If you have the evidence,
unbelievable.
That's absolutely unbelievable. That is the equivalent of a prosecutor starting a trial and an opening statement, making up facts that are completely made up of your own mind. That is what Adam Schiff did and was attempting to pass it off as the opening remarks for the hearing by the chairman of the Intelligence Committee.
And moreover, my belief is he did that knowing that the media would show that sound clip and the American people watching and say, wow, the president said that.
And that's exactly what happened.
And that's what happened because the media, for the most part, is in the tank and working with the Democrats in going after Trump. And this was, I can't even find the words I've written for a living. Shameful, disgusting, heinous.
Despicable.
Despicable. It's just unbelievable the way these people will play dirty and beneath the rules to get what they want.
And that was an immediate tell for me that he doesn't have any facts, because if you have facts to support your impeachment inquiry, why make stuff up?
Right.
And by the way, an aside, but directly related, so I don't know if it's an aside. we don't know right now whether Nancy Pelosi has the votes she needs to impeach in the House of Representatives, because there are perhaps 10 Democrats who are not committed yet. Unless y'all have heard something different.
I saw a report yesterday that says she finally has enough, because you only need 218 votes.
Okay.
It's a simple majority, right?
Simple majority. They have 236 Democrats in the House. So even minus that 10, you still have 226.
But how does she have the votes without the,
without the articles
of impeachment?
Yeah, what are you voting on?
Right. Well, that's never stopped her before. Remember the infamous Obamacare vote? We'll find out what's in it after we pass it. That seems to be... We'll find out Trump's guilty after we find the crime.
Why doesn't somebody ask these Democrats, why have you committed to vote for impeachment when the actual accusations, the articles of impeachment,
haven't even been written yet?
And it proves this is a political operation, not a legal one. And for Nancy Pelosi to stand up time and time again, we just saw her live here on the Fox News feed that we have in this studio, for her to say we're trying to protect the Constitution is a despicable lie. Otherwise, you would not be getting Democrats on the record saying, I'm voting for impeachment, when we don't even know what the charges are.
It's no different than when, prior to President Trump naming Brett Kavanaugh as his judicial nominee for the Supreme Court, when you had activists who had remove blank.
They had their press releases opposing the nominee ready
with no name
with
in
no
it.
Name in yes. it. They were just waiting to fill in the name.
No matter who they are, we're opposing them.
You know, what's I guess most troubling to me about all this, or one of the most troubling aspects of this whole, the way the Democrats have been going about this since the president took office, really, maybe even before, as declaring themselves the resistance. Maxine Waters saying you need to physically confront administration officials when they're out in public. You know, Madonna, the entertainer, so to speak, you know, claiming she wanted to bomb the White House. That's the tone that the Robert De Niro actor, you know, vulgarities out in the open everywhere about the president. But related to that, when it's death by a thousand cuts that the Democrats, the strategy they've decided to use. I joked earlier about 47% of the country now have received subpoenas from the Democrats. The joke I'm making there is that these subpoenas have been flying out of these Democrat. They said that they were going to do this, Democrat committees, since 18 when they took over the House. Mm-hmm. They said that they were going to do this. It's just now they're wanting to. It's just harassment. The state of California wants Trump's 10 years of President Trump's income tax returns. The state of California. I mean, not even talking about his home state of New York, which I think are going after him too. You have to ask yourself, what in the world does an attorney general, if that's what it is, in California care about Donald Trump's tax returns for the last 10 years, unless they're just wanting to harass the man?
Right.
You see what I'm saying? Well, and think about this too. Every time that happens, you have the state of California, okay, somebody comes and tells the president, sir, we just got a letter from the attorney general's office in California. They're demanding your 10 years of your personal tax returns.
Or they're not going to put your name on the ballot.
Are they not going to put your name on the ballot. Okay, think about that. Okay, with all the things the president of the United States, every president, Democrat, Republican, has to deal with on a daily basis, keeping us safe, terrorist threats, the economy, trade, all kinds of things that go on a daily basis, not to mention his staff, his administration. And then somebody comes in and says, here's a letter from the state of California. They want 10 years of your federal tax returns. You know what? You know, think about just the practical implications of that one act alone that a man has to deal with. This is why I said I would. You know, I mean, every man has his breaking point.
Right.
I would have broke by now. Okay. If I were President Trump, I would have. I would have probably had a fit.
Right.
In public, maybe. But anyway, and President Trump has had a couple of those too. But that then the president has to take that paper because that's a serious issue.
Right.
That's not something
you can't ignore it.
No, that's not something you say, I just throw it in the trash can.
Right.
He has to go and give this, I guess he does, to his lawyer, and he has to have a team of them.
Right.
Somebody has to pay for them, his lawyers. The federal government pays for some, I'm sure, through the executive branch, but then the President Trump probably has to write checks out of his own account to pay for others. And then you have to say, well, how do we respond to this? Oh, could we fight it in court? Well, guess what? He has to have probably about four or five lawyers, you tell me, Abe, to fight that one case. And the president has to be confident in the professionalism and the, the capabilities of those lawyers to defend him in that particular case. Because if they lose, you know, then he's got to do what the state of California says and he starts losing case. You see what I'm saying? And that one thing alone, imagine going to bed with that at night. Oh, you know, and you're sitting, you know, I don't know that he ever sleeps, but you get the idea. I'm just saying you have to be able to compartmentalize. I know that. But you see, I'm just saying that is one example of the Democrats' endless harassment of this man. Not that they're opposing him. You would expect them to oppose him on his policies because they are in contrast to what the Democrats believe on most everything, right? So let's fight it out fairly in the Congress.
Right.
Let's do things like, you know, if the president loses, he loses. But no, they decided, the Democrats decided, we're not going to do that. We're going to try to sabotage the election. That's what we're going to do. We're not going to try to beat him with ideas. We're gonna throw grenades.
Well, like you said, death by a thousand cuts.
Yeah. So anyway, I think that's the most troubling thing of what is happening here, because this, if this kind of action is going to go on in our country, it's going to be debilitating for our federal government.
Our overall government's going to come to a screeching halt.
Right.
I mean, it's just going to become completely dysfunctional in Washington, D.C.
Some would argue it already has. When you think about what we're governed by, the Congress rarely passes legislation anymore. We're being governed by an administrative state. So the founders never considered there would be a government where Congress would be defunct, basically, or ineffective, and administrative state will be governing the matters of the United States of America.
One other thing to consider here is it's going to become harder, probably already has, for President Trump to find qualified people who share his political beliefs to work for him and his administration, because when you see people being harassed and doxxed and death threats and all these things, you know, people say, they may say, I agree with President Trump, but I don't want to work in the administration because I don't want to subject my family to that.
Mm-hmm. I don't want to be screamed at in a restaurant, driven, howled out of a restaurant because I'm a part of the Trump administration.
Right, and now Maxine Waters, a leading Democrat there, is saying, do that to people.
Yeah.
And there's no resistance. The Nancy Pelosi doesn't say, no, we don't want to do that.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? All right, we got a particular, switching gears here, we got a particular case that we wanted to ask Abe's opinion about, given his prior experience in law enforcement.
Go ahead. All right. Fairfax County, Virginia, just across the Potomac from Washington, D.C. Back on September 21st, there was a traffic accident. The police responded and started to handle the accident, and they found out that one of the drivers didn't have a driver's license. And when the officer checked the driver's information, it turned out that the driver was wanted by Immigration and Customs Enforcement for failing to appear for a deportation hearing. So he calls ICE.
Who does? The police officer?
Police officer calls ICE and says, I have this guy here. The ICE officers weren't too far away. This is in the Washington, D.C. area. They come over and they take this driver into custody because he's going to be deported because he didn't show up for his deportation hearing. We know that never happens. So the police officer does this. One would think he was doing his job. That police officer has been suspended by his boss, who says that police officer had no business calling the immigration people, even when everybody knew that this guy is facing deportation legally. He has been suspended. His boss, the police chief, Ed Rossler, this is what he had to say. Our county is one of the most diverse counties in the nation, and no one should have the perception our police force is acting as a civil immigration agent for ICE. This matter damages our reputation and the longstanding policy that I have stated many times, that our officers shall not act as immigration agents.
That's amazing. So driving without a license in many jurisdictions, like in Texas where I began practicing, and even in Louisiana, is an arrestable offense in and of itself. So the lawful detention, the probable cause to lawfully detain, often in most states, exists when you have a person who's driving without a license, adding into the fact that this is involved in a traffic crash. I don't know who was at fault or whatever, but to see or to have an officer reprimanded.
Reprimanded. That's shocking.
That is amazing, because what happens is normally when you have these types of traffic instances, the police officers responding to the scene will run the people present to see if they have any outstanding warrants. So that would be a part of standard procedure. And according to the news report that I have, the responding Fairfax County officer called the ICE officer listed on the arrest warrant. So there's an active warrant that is a federal warrant to detain. I would ask the police chief, what if there was a federal warrant for a drug case or for another type of case? Would you have reprimanded and suspended the officer then? It's a sad state when you have an officer who is being reprimanded for following what would normally be considered standard protocol. You have an outstanding warrant, You have someone, you have him detained on the outstanding warrant.
What would, if you were to be able to ask the police chief here, what's his name?
Rossler.
And that's Fairfax County?
Fairfax County police
chief.
Usually
counties have sheriffs and sheriff's deputies, not police officers and a police chief, but I guess they're different in Virginia. I don't know, but
yeah, they have House of Delegates too. So
my question would be, what was the proper, according to, if you were to ask the chief, because he's being critical, this guy's being suspended or disciplined, this police officer for calling ICE when the ICE officer's name is on the warrant.
Yeah, and it's important to make that distinction. Calling
right
the officer listed on the outstanding arrest warrant, not just calling ICE sua sponte, just calling the officer on the arrest warrant. Go ahead.
Yeah. So what would the, if you were to ask the police chief, what was the officer supposed to do? What would he say?
Seems like he would say, let him go.
Yeah, because we don't help ICE.
Okay. So think about the practical implications of this. And this is common sense. Doesn't matter whether you're a Democrat or Republican, conservative or liberal. It just seems to me this is PC run amok. This is progressivism run amok. Because what you're saying is those who are lawful citizens of this country must be subjected to following the law, or they're punished. That is all of us, right?
Right.
But if you're not a lawful citizen of this country, then you can get away with anything because we let you go because you are, instead of having you deported. And I don't know what diversity, what is, when he started, when this,
exactly, what does that have to do with anything?
What is the police officer? Sounds like a politician. He's a police officer, a police chief, supposed to be promoting the enforcement of the law, and he gives us a diversity speech. Now, let me ask you this. This is sanctuary stuff here, right here, right? Okay, let me ask you, Abe, or Ed, or Fred. I'll start with you, Ed, on this one. We got 3 minutes. Help me understand what those who are opposed to ICE, okay, and enforcement of, and police authorities being in connection, being in a communication to ICE, for example, local police authorities. Why is that objectionable? Why do they promote sanctuary? What will they say to us if they said, well, the reason we don't want this is because?
I assume if they're being honest, they will say this. We believe these people have a right to be here. This country should be a sanctuary to people in need. And this administration, as manifested by the policies, the laws, the regulations which ICE follows, is trying to keep these people out. And so because we are not required by law to cooperate with ICE, it's just professional courtesy, we're not going to do it because we want these people here. And we're going to do whatever we can to make ICE's job that much more difficult.
What if ICE found out that they had in their possession, they were able to get somebody who was being deported, but then they found out that he had committed a murder in Fairfax County. And then the police officer called over to ICE and says, we want this guy because we...
That's an Abe question.
Okay. But I'm saying, and then ICE said, well, we're not going to cooperate with you. I wonder how they'd feel, you know?
Yeah.
I can't speak to how they would feel, but I think it's noteworthy that this guy's warrant was for failure to appear for a deportation hearing.
Right.
So this is the due process that most people scream about, that we want to make sure people have proper due process
right
before they're deported. But in this instance, the sheriff in Fairfax County didn't even want due process, obviously, as it pertains to the immigration issue.
I'm afraid we have half our country who are not for borders at all.
I don't think it's half, but there's
it's
a lot of
close.
There's a lot of people in power.
It's getting
who
close.
Are, do
that,
believe
that
it.
Aren't even for borders. For all practical purposes at all. Thank you, Abe. Appreciate it.
Thank you, guys.
All right, folks, we'll be back in 5 minutes.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.